Hey everybody, this is Dan Lobby.
And this is Mary Kay Cabot.
And this is the Orange and Brown Talk podcast presented by Sibling Revelry Brewing. You can find them at siblingrevelrybrewing.com. Check their website for any events they have going on. Check out Giant Eagle, Heinen's, all sorts of places to find their beers in the store. Head out to their tap room in Westlake. And of course, check their website to, like I said, see events, but also find out what they have on sale and all of that good stuff. So that's siblingrevelrybrewing.com. Mary Kay, let's get right to it. We did not record a post-game podcast last night. It slipped our minds, got a little late, and we failed to do it. So we're coming back on a Monday, 37-21, the Browns losers to the Kansas City Chiefs. But let's start here because today, look, it's going to be – this is a lot like draft season, this coaching search. So there's going to be stories and names and things just thrown out. And the name today, he was in Cleveland yesterday, is Bruce Arians. He talked to the Canton Repository and said that there's one job that he would come out of retirement for, and that is the one here in Cleveland. So let's start here with Arians. He's 66 years old, actually younger than Pete Carroll. That is also Bill Belichick's age, so it's not out of the realm of possibility. But do you view him as a legitimate candidate if he really wanted to come out of retirement and coach here?
Well, you know, I don't know how they view him. I would certainly view him as a legitimate candidate because of his amazing credentials, everything that he has accomplished in his career. Obviously, we know some of the things that he was the two-time AP NFL Coach of the Year in 2012 and 2014. As an assistant coach, he's a two-time Super Bowl champion. He was a former Browns coordinator, offensive coordinator, and I remember him well. Of course, I knew him very well when he was here.
Of course, that playoff year, he was the offensive coordinator during that playoff year as well.
Yeah, so he has a history here, and I think that he's been very, very disappointed that he has been passed over all the other times that the Browns have had coaching searches, and there have been plenty, Dan, and they've never really given him a look. And, you know, one of these times around, he really, really wanted it. I can't remember if it was the last time or not. When did he get done coaching the
Would it have been before he went to Arizona?
Yes, it would have been. Before he went to Arizona. So, yes, and I've lost track of all my head coaches for the Cleveland Browns, but at that time, he would have loved to have been interviewed by the Browns. And, you know, they really didn't give him a look. And that was unfortunate because he did go on to do some really great things for the Arizona Cardinals. And his NFL head coaching record is 49-30-1 for a 619 win percentage. Yeah. That's pretty darn good. And he's great with quarterbacks. I mean, he's really, really good with quarterbacks. The one very interesting thing that I always have remembered about Bruce Arians, though, he doesn't really like the shorter quarterback. He's never liked the shorter quarterback. I know everybody says, you know, there's outliers and whatnot, but he has always said that he thinks that it's very, very difficult to be a 6'1 and under guy and succeed in the NFL. So that would be an interesting thing.
Yeah, of course, you know, before he retired, he had Carson Palmer in Arizona. That was where he had a ton of success there. Had some really great teams in Arizona. And the other thing, too, is he is a very aggressive downfield passing coach. I mean, that's what he wants to do. He wants to throw the ball down the field a bunch. The Cardinals did that. I don't know if they did that more than anyone. I can't remember what it was when he was coaching. when I heard the numbers that but they were near the top of the league in taking shots down the field and throwing deep. You know, is that the kind of offense that John Dorsey wants to bring in? Yeah, I think that's something he has to consider. And you know, maybe it would be a situation where Bruce would come in and he'd keep Freddie Kitchens around because obviously he kept him around in Arizona and let him call plays. So there's a lot to consider. But, yeah, Bruce Arians wants to interview for the job and be considered for the job. That's a guy that I don't think you can say no to. You have to at least talk to him and see kind of where he is in the process of maybe wanting to come back, getting that itch to coach again, and how long he might want to coach.
Sure. I mean, like you said, when you have someone like that with those type of credentials that would want this job. And I think, you know, there probably are some assistants that might not want this job. I mean, for him, it would be a last hurrah, an opportunity to, you know, just to have a chance to come back here, a place that he absolutely loved. And he's talked about this for years and years and years, that he would love to have this opportunity. This would be like a dream job for him. It would actually be a dream job for a lot of people that have been here, believe it or not. And I know that because I talked to them. I talked to these guys at the Combine, and I talked to them at the Senior Bowl. And almost everybody that's been through here, there is, and I don't know if it's because of the tremendous fan base, the loyalty of all these fans that just keep coming out to these games no matter what, but people love their experience here. It's a great place to raise a family. It's a great community, a great town, and a lot of coaches really like it.
And a lot of coaches, too, like the challenge of maybe trying to be the guy to turn this around, too.
Exactly. And then, and again, there's a lot of guys that might be leery of this opportunity. Now, I mean, who knows? Like a Josh McDaniels, would he want this to be the second place he comes to try to be a head coach? I mean, this is going to be a tough job for somebody.
Yeah, and, you know, McDaniels, of course, hometown guy as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Arians, I'm thinking back, the Browns, that would have been Chudzinski, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Went Chudzinski, and then in 2014 they went to Pettine. So,
yep.
Yeah, they really kind of messed that one up.
Yeah.
They had an opportunity to bring Arians in back in 2013, perhaps, and they didn't do it. They went with Rob Chudzinski for a year. So Bruce Arians' name is going to be out there until it's not. Just like with a lot of these guys, the name's going to be out there until it's not. As far as you're concerned, we're about a week removed. We are actually exactly a week removed when we're recording this from Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley's firing. Aside from maybe throwing Arians into the mix, has the list kind of in your head changed at all?
Well, first of all, let me back up for one quick second on something, and that is I actually think Rob Chudzinski had the potential to be a good head coach.
He got off to a good start.
But, you know, he just got caught up in the whole, you know, upheaval of there was just a lot going on back then. And, you know, it just really wasn't conducive to a first-time head coach being successful. So I think he could have done a nice job, and this was his dream job too. So who knows how that would have turned out if he would have had more of an opportunity. But in terms of the coaching search, I still believe that that John Dorsey will run the show. We've been saying that all along. I think Jimmy will let him do that. And, you know, look, they've got Ron Wolf that can be sort of a consultant to them on this. You've got Alonzo, you've got Elliot, you've got these guys in the building that will be able to, you know, help them come up with that list. And maybe even Scott McLuhan, who is...
Could come back in the picture.
Right. I mean, you know, maybe they'll have him, you know, get some of his input. He obviously helped out with the draft and helped them decide to pick Baker Mayfield. So maybe he'll get a little bit involved in this as well. I don't know that for sure. But I don't think anything much has changed. I still think you have to look to the West Coast type of system and family that these former Green Bay executives are used to and feel comfortable with, which in my mind still gives you sort of the Dave Taubes and the I never know if I'm pronouncing that right.
I've heard it pronounced about three or four different ways.
Yeah, so we have to figure that out. But you know, maybe the Eric Bieniemies, although is, you know, he's not really calling plays there yet, or at least not on a full-time basis, the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs. So I don't know you know, how serious those guys are. Then you've got somebody again like John DeFilippo, who we had on our list, and I know he would love this job. He was the offensive coordinator here. He took the job in Minnesota to go be able to call plays there so he could position himself to take a head coaching job. That is why he left a really nice situation with the Eagles to go call his own plays and be able to take that next step. So, you know, he's ready to become a head coach, and I'm sure he will get looks this year. You know, there's some other names. There's names that we've talked about. Obviously, there's Lincoln Riley, but since we last talked, I've talked to some people that really, genuinely believe that Lincoln Riley means it when he says he loves Oklahoma, he's in a great situation, and is in no hurry to leave that right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough to lure these college coaches from these big programs anymore, just because there is so much money. They can make so much money in the college game. There is more stability there, especially if you're winning. You know, there's downsides. You got to go recruit all the time and all of that, but... you know, it can be tough to lure these guys. And the other thing, too, as much as, you know, we might love a guy like Lincoln Riley, as much success as a guy like Matt Campbell, some of these other guys in college, that leap is difficult to make. And we've seen that time and again. I think we mentioned Chip Kelly on one of our previous podcasts, you know, a guy that NFL teams, including Bill Belichick, flocked to pick his brain about offense. And then he comes to the NFL, and, you know, whether it was because it was a power grab, whatever it was, he just couldn't stick in the NFL. And now he's back in the college ranks, working his way back up again. So, I mean, he's at UCLA, obviously a really good program, but now he's got to kind of work his way back up to having a championship caliber team at the college level that he left.
Yeah, and, you know, another current head coach who really credits his time with Chip Kelly with helping him become a better coach is Pat Shurmur. He believes that working with Chip Kelly like that really upped his game on the offensive side of the ball. However, like you said, you know, there's so much more that goes into coaching than just coaching the football team, and that is assembling the team. And it just seemed like Chip Kelly may have gotten way too involved in the player procurement part of it. What you have to have as a head coach is you just have to be working in concert, hand in hand, with somebody that you really trust on the personnel side. However that works out, those two guys have to really want to work together. They have to be in their office 6 or 7 times a day, and they have to really be of the same mind. They have to be looking for the same kind of players, the same kind of philosophy. That's why I really do believe that these guys that John Dorsey will go with, more of somebody who has some connection either to the West Coast family that he comes from, that very tight-knit family, you know, that he's either been in Green Bay, Kansas City, or somewhere, you know, has gone on from there to other places, or that there's just such a shared vision that it doesn't matter necessarily, you know, that he coached in one of those systems, but just that the fundamental philosophy is so similar and that the personalities are so similar that they can work very well together.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, with some of these college guys, too, especially the bigger names, they're the face of that program. I mean, they are the program. You know, that wouldn't really be the case. That is, sometimes isn't the case when you come to the NFL, and it wouldn't be here where you've got this experienced front office. You've got John Dorsey, everybody wearing the John Dorsey sweaters. You've got Baker Mayfield. You know, you're bringing in someone to be your head coach, not to pick players, not to do anything like that. So so that's sort of a hurdle as well. So listen, like I said, we're going to get lots of names thrown out. This feels like draft season all over again. From now until January, and you know, they're going to have a jump start, so maybe they get a hire done quickly, but there's going to be a lot of names thrown out, and it started today with Bruce Arians. Go ahead.
Well, one of the other things, and I think we may have talked about this before, is some of the guys that come from college had NFL experience before they went to college, and then they come back into the NFL. Now, I think that's extremely valuable experience to do it that way. I think it is a huge leap to just go from college to the NFL because there's so much that goes on at this level that is different. I mean, it's just not college. It's just a different world up here, and there is that tremendous learning curve that you just really don't want your new coach to have.
Yeah, I mean, these are employees. These are not, this is not, I know college football is big business, and these, a lot of these big programs, a lot of these players are thought of as mercenaries in some ways, but when you get to the NFL, these are employees, families, kids, bills. If you're Lincoln Riley or whatever, you aren't that much older than a lot of these guys. So I don't remember what Lincoln Riley's age is, but you're not too much older than these guys if you're that. And if you're Matt Campbell, even closer.
Yeah, I think he's like 35 or 36.
Yeah, he actually might be younger than Matt Campbell, now that I think of it.
Yeah, not Sean McVay, though,
yeah,
who
not
I still
Sean McVay,
cannot believe.
Me,
he's 32 years old. Can you even believe that? Took the job when he was, what, 30, I think?
Yeah.
How is that even possible?
And you know, that's why I keep coming back to, like, everybody says get your next Sean McVay.
Yeah.
That might be a pretty unique situation there.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't think it's that easy to just find your Sean McVay. No, that's what you're trying to duplicate, but
he's a savant. I mean, he is a genius.
Yeah.
He is a football genius. It's, you know, so amazing to, you know, to hear him speak and to go back and see what he's able to do and remember on things that happened years and years ago. And of course, he's a Miami Red Hawk, too, so that's always
a good
thing.
Well, there you go. We're sitting here speculating on these guys' ages because we didn't know we were going to talk about this. I can just look it up here on my phone.
There you go.
So you mentioned, like you said, Sean McVay is 32. Lincoln Riley, This is really good podcasting right here, is 35, so you nailed that one.
I did. I nailed both of them.
Yeah, and then Matt Campbell, I believe I looked this up, I think he's 39 right now, but let me double check before I say that. 38. He'll be 39 in November. That's what it is. So,
you know,
so there you go. I mean, and you know, you like the idea of bringing in a young, forward-thinking offensive mind.
Well, the other thing about a Bruce Arians type is I believe that he, you know, cited health reasons perhaps maybe as a reason why he was, you know, kind of ready to be done in Arizona. And it's not that I have nothing against a 66-year-old head coach by any stretch of the imagination, but if John Dorsey is thinking in terms of keeping somebody around here for a really, really long time, I'm talking about, you know, a decade or something like that, you know, something that hasn't happened in Cleveland in forever. If he's thinking about doing something like that, finding the next great head football coach, I think you would want him to be a younger guy. Now, he doesn't have to be 35 years old necessarily.
Or 32.
Or even 32. But I think you would want somebody that you think that, you know, that you could keep here and that it will work out and that you'll land your next Andy Reid or somebody like that, and that you can keep them just forever.
Yeah, somebody that you can just, you know, we use that word program, somebody you can kind of build that program around.
Right.
And they can run this thing and develop Baker Mayfield, which is really the priority of all of this. All right, so we've got to go. We wanted to get a quick podcast in, though, because, like I said, we owed you all one from yesterday because we didn't do one after the game. Left a couple topics on the table that we can get to maybe later this week with Freddie Kitchens and Duke Johnson and kind of what to watch the rest of this season. And, of course, there's some injury news and things like that. So check it all out at cleveland.com/Browns. And then also make sure you check out Sibling Revelry Brewing as well. Head over to their website, siblingrevelrybrewing.com. We appreciate them sponsoring us as always. For Mary Kay Cabot, I'm Dan Lobby. Thanks for listening.